and wills to God.
This program was recorded at the Foundations for Conference at Quinta, September 2013. To find out more about Foundations conferences, go to www.foundationsconferences.com. www.foundationsconferences.com. Thank you.
Yes. No, and we never do because it was a calf that was used when Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, and so that's why we never have a cow's horn shofar. Thank you. Now, in my research, I was looking to see, well, how do they get these horns? And I was unable to find any definitive information, but my research said that the animals are not always just killed for their horns, that most horns come from dead animals, although some horns are harvested from live animals. Now, the making of the shofars. Shofars, both the ram's horn and the kudu shofars, are heated in boiling water until they're pliable and they're stretched out until straight enough to be drilled. The hole is at the mouthpiece is small, and most of the horn is hollowed out. Horns are actually made of keratin, and they surround a core of bone. The core is discarded, and the keratin sheath is naturally hollow, and when the tip is sawed off to create a mouthpiece, it becomes an instrument that can be sounded. So these are ram's horn shofars, and then the Yemenite or kudu shofars. Once the drilling is complete, the shofar is heated again and twisted back into the familiar curved or spiral shape, and it's either left in its natural state or polished. A shofar should not have decorations applied to its surface. It should be in its fully natural state, although it may be polished. Functions of the shofar. We read in the Bible, I think the word shofar is mentioned around 72 times in the Bible, often translated as the word trumpet. So we praise God with the shofar. In Psalm 98, verse 6, we read, "With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King." And in Psalm 150, verse 3, "Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet." The sound of the shofar is a call to repentance. We read in Hosea 8, verse 1, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law." The shofar was used for the coronation of kings. In 1 Kings 1, verse 39, we read, "And Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and the people said, 'God save King Solomon.'" We blow the shofar in spiritual warfare. In Numbers 10, verse 9, we read, "When you go into battle in your own land against an enemy who is oppressing you, sound a blast on the trumpets. Then you will be remembered by the Lord your God and rescued from your enemies." We know that physical things impact the spiritual realm, and spiritual things impact the physical realm. And we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The sound of the shofar is also a warning sound. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, we read, "Blow a trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near." It's also for announcing the Lord's return. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, we read, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Now we come to the various sounds that are made by the shofar. The shofar, you know, we can ad lib and we can just blow. Each shofar is different. Each shofar has a different potentials. So we have to familiarize ourselves with the shofar that we get. And for me, when I got the shofar, I did pray, "Lord, would I be able to afford it? Lord, help me." And by God's grace, I was able to get it. And now that I have it, it is so precious to me, and I won't let other people blow it, because once you get your shofar, it's you know, it's a spiritual instrument. It's you know, I equate it with my Bible or anything precious. So that's why I keep it for myself. It's not selfish purposes. It's just because for me it's a very precious instrument. So, as I say, we can ad lib with the shofar, but also there are sounds that can be made with the shofar, and I'll take you through these now. The tekiah is one unbroken blast. It's a sound of triumph, joy, and happiness. It announces the coming of the King. The shivarim are three wailing blasts. They're a crying and a mourning over sin, a broken heart before the Lord, a cry of repentance bringing defeat over the enemy. The teruah consists of nine staccato blasts in rapid succession. It's an alarm rousing us from spiritual slumber, encouraging us to be alert, to focus our hearts and minds on Yeshua, and to keep him at the center of our lives. And the tekiah gadola is one long, unbroken blast, and it's as long as you can possibly blow it for. And this sound brings hope and inspiration, and it may be described as a yearning call to God, to Yahweh. I've got small cards, actually, that I've printed out with these, because when I was learning them, it was very difficult to remember which the tekiah was, which the shevarim, and which the teruah, and the tekiah gadola. And you'll notice tekiah and tekiah. Gadola just means big. So how to blow the shofar? There is an amazing amount of information on the internet about how to blow the shofar, including YouTube demonstrations. When I learned to play it, I had none of that. I just put it to my mouth and I blew, and the sound came. Sometimes the sound doesn't always come when I'm blowing it, but and I'll share this with you. Each time I go to blow my shofar, I first pray to God. I offer it to him to give him praise. It's to his glory. That's the main purpose for me when I blow my shofar. But I've just condensed it to three simple instructions. Practice making the correct mouth form. You need to tighten your lips to fit over the mouth opening. I fit my lips centrally over the mouth opening. Jewish tradition suggests using the right side of the lips for blowing the shofar, but it just depends on, you know, how easy you find it. There was such a lot of information available that, you know, I prayed for inspiration of what I should include. So position your mouth over the mouthpiece and blow into the shofar as hard as you can. This should make your lips vibrate. It's like blowing a raspberry. If you play an instrument like a trumpet, it will come quite easily to you. Any sound you make means success. Practice and you will be able to blow the shofar with confidence. The care of your shofar. Your shofar is a precious musical instrument. Treat it with care. Store your shofar open to the atmosphere. Don't wrap it up and keep it covered like that. Protect your shofar. Transport it in a padded bag. I've got a bag, but not padded. One of these days, I'm going to get myself a padded shofar bag. The other concern I had was cleaning my shofar. So you clean the mouthpiece from time to time with unscented alcohol wipes. And it doesn't have to be, I think I've done it with my shofar twice in the last 5 years. Use a soft clean cloth to dust your shofar. Never use water on it. And occasionally polish the horn with a thin coat of olive oil and a soft clean cloth. So I've got some references here, and I've actually printed out some references out of the myriad of references I found on the internet. So I'll give you copies of those at the end of our session. So now all I need to say to you is, come on and blow your shofar. Has anybody got any questions? I'll do my best to answer. If I don't know the answer, I'll try and find out for you. Yes, there are many, with silver and various things added onto it. Perhaps you'd be able to explain. That's right. That's it. So that's what I learned, and that's why. And I did some research sort of before I went to Israel, because I knew one of the things I wanted to get was a shofar. And one of the things I read was that it shouldn't have any decorative or, you know, anything applied to it. So I'm very glad that I found that out before I bought my shofar. Well, I've found it easier to play the kudu horn, although I found, you know, the ram's horn quite easy. Sometimes it's a little more difficult to get a rich sound from a ram's horn, but I found the kudu horn very, very easy. You would think the larger instrument would be more difficult, but certainly I found it much easier. And I've got these here, which are from the Judaica stand, if anybody wanted to, you know, if you forgot your shofar or haven't got a shofar, if you'd like to try using these. Let's get to my last. Any other questions? Yes? Yes. I mean, there are so many instances when the shofar is sounded for all of the feasts. It was just so much for me to include, but I think if you look into, you know, the feasts, you will see. And I do know that the Day of Atonement, which has recently gone by, one of the things they say is that you need to have heard the shofar sounded 100 times. Yes, there are. Yes, and it includes all of the different types of sound that I mentioned earlier. Any other questions? I haven't got a handout of the PowerPoint presentation. I have got a handout of some of the sources that I used. I'm happy to you know, print out. I'm absolutely happy. Yes, that'll be fine. I've got it on a memory stick here, so it can be. All right, yes. Yes, I'm happy. I'm happy for that to be done. So, any other questions? Yes, yes. No, that's lovely, lovely to hear that. I mean, something else I discovered in my research, because the horns are usually kudu or rams, and they need to be curved horns, although some of the shofars that are made from straight horns. What they said about the straight horns is that the straight horns are used for goring and attacking, whereas the curved horns are used for protection. And so this is why they prefer the curved horns to the straight horns. So, any other questions? Yes, 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 indeed. And it was a ram that was caught in the thicket when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. And one of the things they said, that they know it's a ram because a straight horn wouldn't have been able to get caught up in the thicket, whereas the ram's horn, and it just couldn't get away. So, yes. Any other questions? Yes, yes, I am. So, what I thought was, what Steve has asked is if for Simchat Torah on Friday morning, those of us who have been learning to blow the shofar would blow the shofar at that time. That would include blowing the four different sounds. I don't know if Ruth would like, when we are blowing, to call out the sounds. No? Okay. So perhaps you would. Because I've been very blessed to live quite close to a Messianic Jew and his wife, and I've been blessed to be able to keep the feast. It was when I just read the Bible, I came across, you know, that the Lord said these feasts are to be kept forever. And I sort of said, Lord, well, if they're kept, you know, meant to be kept forever, please show me how I can learn to do this. And just by chance, the Lord's design, I met someone who introduced me to this couple. And that's how I've been practicing my shofar. And for Yom Kippur, we did the blowing of the shofar. And what they do is they call out, you know, they'll say, Takia, and everybody blows the long blast. Shavarim, we blow the three blasts. Teruah, we blow the nine. Takia Gadola, one very long blast. And that, again, is repeated. And then at the end of that, we can have ad-libbing. But it's just a good opportunity for us to learn the different sounds and to practice them. And I'd be very grateful if you would call them out. Because of the variation of sound that you can get from the different shofars, it takes practice. And you know, you can produce different sounds, yes, and it's by the way you shape your mouth and by the way you move the shofar, and that all comes with practice. The wonderful thing about these sounds is that you don't have to move the shofar, you don't have to learn any specific techniques. Once you get the sound and you practice the sound, it's a long blast, three medium blasts, nine short blasts, and one very long blast. So there's no need to learn all the different nuances. They can come later, but this is the important, these are the important sounds. By God's grace, the first time I put the shofar to my mouth, I made an amazing sound. I couldn't believe it myself. And, you know, it depends, I think, on the shofar as well. Some shofars are easier to sound than others. Practice, practice, practice. Don't give up. You will get a sound from it. Just keep on practicing. And for me, you know, I just keep saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to bring you glory here. Just let me blow it to bring you glory. I honor you. I worship you. This is the way one of the ways I can praise you. So let the sound be pleasing to your ear. I beg your pardon? No, I don't actually, and I actually live in a terraced house, but, you know, I will blow it sort of, you know, not early in the morning and not late at night. Although sometimes, you know, if I feel, you know, when you're drawing nearer to the Lord, the devil panics and he begins to all sorts of attacks. When I find that happening, I take my shofar. And I blow it to God's glory because God has the victory. He has the victory. Yes. Sorry, you were going to ask a question earlier. I believe a couple of the sounds are actually mentioned in the Bible. I think that Takia is mentioned and the Teruah. And those, yes, one of the, it's what they say when you blow it is that you really, that signifies the end of the sound, you know, but it's not always easy to achieve that sound. Ruth, is there anything else you, thank you so much. Wonderful. The trumpet, yes, yes. Yes, certainly some are. Yes, I think it depends on the animal, the amount of keratin, the amount of bone. So, you know, but I think, you know, you can blow a shofar, and it just takes practice. One of the one of the issues with the shofar, because it's an animal horn, sometimes the smell can be very, very strong. And that may be because it hasn't been properly cleaned in the process of being, shaped and formed. And I've read where some people use vinegar. There are lots of recommendations, again, on the internet for removing the sound. But I wouldn't put anything on because I really didn't know what I should recommend. Some people say never use vinegar. Some say clean it with, you know, other bits and pieces. I'm not sure. Ruth, is there anything that you know of? No. So I would suggest, you know, if when you're going to buy a shofar, I think it's important to be there to buy it. I think buying it, on the internet or sight unseen is not always the best way. Certainly, I think for buying a shofar, it's such a precious instrument that, you know, ask the Lord for guidance and direction, and he will. And as I say, most shofars, if they've been, properly produced, there will be a sort of natural smell, but it wouldn't be a very strong or offensive smell. But I have been around shofars where the smell can be quite strong and offensive. And I've sort of picked up these two. These are lovely, they're just there. And I had a go at blowing because, as I say, small ones I've found more difficult, but I've been able to blow these quite easily. So, you know, if anyone wants to try them, they're very welcome. Any other? Yes. So shall I take this out? I don't want to deafen anybody. The wonderful.